recorded live.
All right, how you doing, everybody? Casey Ryan here again for another episode of The Cutting Room Floor, a little podcast that I started to showcase indie entertainers from all walks. I like to say, if you've got a story to tell or a project to sell, then I want to hear from you. I see the easiest way to get a hold of me is on Twitter. You can ask anybody that knows me. This is a bit of a weakness with me because I'm on there pretty much all the time. My Twitter handle is at CuttingRoomMRB. Or you can like me on Facebook, facebook.com/CuttingRoomMRB, with some additional content and promo opportunities and all kinds of other stuff. I try to make the best use of my channels as I possibly can to help create awareness for your projects. If you want some free promotions on the air, shoot me an email, cuttingroomfloor.mrb@gmail.com, and please include a line or two of copy that you'd like me to read and a website. I can't stress that enough. I need to know where to be able to point people. Again, this is something that I don't charge for. I do it for free because I believe in the indie community and what you guys are trying to accomplish, and I just want to help you guys get your stories out there the best way that I can. To that extent, I also wanted to start off with a bit of news before we get into my first guest today. I'm actually doing a double episode. We're going to have two guests on, one for the first half hour and one for the second half hour. But I also wanted to sort of relay to Combat Radio, Ethan Detmeyer and the guys. I wanted to wish them nothing but the best of luck and success with their Breakfast with Santa that's going to be taking place next weekend. I'm a firm believer in what these guys are doing. They've got a whole charity auction thing set up. I've covered this story extensively for the last 2 years. Big believers in what they're doing. I was supposed to make an appearance on Combat Radio on Friday, but due to some technical glitches, we couldn't make that happen. But I am going to be back there on the 13th, so the week after the breakfast, so hopefully I'll be able to get some stories from the guys about what was going on. And this has also turned into an interesting little sideline in terms of my being able to promote indie musicians on the Combat Radio show. So I also wanted to say to Clockwise, who is a great hip-hop artist from Connecticut that I plan to talk about, I'm a firm believer in what he's doing. Thanks to Marty Lang for pointing me in this guy's direction. So you can follow Clockwise on Twitter, at Clockwise, and that's K-L-O-K-W-I-Z-E. He's got some really good tracks that have been used by ESPN. So, and to Rachel and Rachel Thompson and Michael Collins and all kinds of other people that have referred me, all kinds of other musicians, I will, you know, get around to promoting every last one of them, I promise. And Ross Aitken, who is a friend of mine, who pointed me in the direction of a great local talent. So it's been a lot of fun, exploring the indie music community. So all that to say is that the reason that you're listening to this now or downloading it later is to listen to my double episode. We're going to kick it off with a conversation with Bob Motes. I also wanted to thank a mutual friend of ours, Variant Val Brooks, who is one of the most hilarious people that you follow on Twitter or on social media in general. Great author in her own right. Has been bugging me for the last couple of years to put Bob on the show, and I'm finally glad that we were able to make this happen. So again, thanks to Valerie for the introduction. But just to give you some information on Bob, one of the most prolific authors that I think I've had on in a long time. According to his Twitter feed, and I love little sound bites like this, he kills people for fun and profit in his capacity as a murder novelist. In 2009, he sat down to write the first sentence of his first book, which was called Classmate Murders. And just 4 years later, he's up to book number 37 between the two series that he writes. And he got that right, 37 books in 4 years. I want to figure out how this is even logistically possible. But so from just outside of Detroit in Fraser, Michigan, the Cutting Room Floor proudly welcomes Mr. Bob Motes. Bob, how are you?
Good, Casey. How are you?
Good, good. So the first question I always have for everybody is a bit of a joke. Is did I get all of your bio information right, or was that close enough, as I like to say?
Yeah, that was close enough. That was good. I did start in 2009 writing Classmate Murders. I was unemployed at the time, and I found time to finally write a full murder novel. I'd done a lot of short stories before that, and I started off with a thought. See, I just turned 60 at the time, and I wasn't real happy about it. So I kind of started off in the first paragraph about my character in the book turning 60, and then it just went on from there. I don't know where the stories come from. They just pop out of my head, and I just sit down and I type on my computer, and the words just flow.
Now, I've just got to ask you this. You know, we're going to call this out right away. 37 books in 4 years, right? I mean, are these novellas, or are these actual, traditional 200 to 300 page, novels?
Well, I usually shoot for 50,000 words, which the industry considers to be, you know, squeaks in under a novel. And generally, you know, they're about that length. So I wrote, when I first started, I was writing like one book almost every month. I was doing my own, that NaNoWriMo or whatever it is contest thing where you write a book in, you know, 30 days. But then I started slowing down a little bit when I, you know, was getting a little tired, you know. But, yeah, I was cranking them out. As a matter of fact, the book before last, Trick or Treat Murders, I finished that in 15 days. And, of course, I wanted to get that done before Halloween, which I did. And then the next book, Santa Murders, which is out right now, that's my last one. That one I did in under a month. Like I say, I just sit down at the computer and it just comes out and it's done. Then I send them off to Val, who you mentioned. She's my editor, and she goes through them and then sends them back to me. Then I send them to a couple of people I trust to read them over, my what's called beta readers, you know, and they go through and check anything that, you know, they see. And then once that's firmed up, then I submit it to the retailers.
Now, what can you tell us? I understand that you've got two series, right? But we'll talk about the PI ones first, sort of the murder series, right? You have a main character, Jim Richards, basically, that is a PI, from what I understand, right?
Right, yeah. Well, he started off as just a plain guy like me, you know, and then he got involved in some murders around the Detroit area. And that was the book Classmate Murders. And somebody was killing off his old classmates from school. And then in the next couple books, he went to school and to learn to be a private investigator. And then he had help from this one police officer in the series, Will Trapper, and he's helped him. So then he becomes a private eye. And the rest of the books, well, actually half the books tell about his adventures in Michigan. And then about Sin City Murders, I finally move everybody out to Las Vegas where they are now.
And, I mean, do you have a particular attachment to Las Vegas? Is it a city that you like? Or, I mean, is it just one of those places that is, you know, one of those places that you always wanted to see? Like, quite frankly, it took me a long time to get there, you know?
No, actually, I lived there for about a year and a half. I went out to work for one of the headliners out there, who I won't mention because he's from the Detroit area. But I loved it. I mean, you know, I only came back because of my dad's health. And I regret leaving there, and I'm going to go back there one day, you know, but I got to know the city quite well, and, you know, so I'm using a lot of that in my books.
Okay, now, I won't get into the specifics of who you worked for, but you mentioned that you wrote for somebody. I mean, were you a joke writer, or what kind of writing were you doing?
No writing at all. I was what they call a production manager. I was kind of like the stage director, you know, during his show, and then I would take care of all his finances, and, you know, as a production, what do they call him, the personal assistant, you know.
Oh, okay.
And that's all I did.
It must have been interesting to, you know, for a city like Vegas to be able to get exposure to that kind of life, too. I would gather that, you know, that must have been, you know, some interesting ideas for you, at least to sort of file away, knowing that you got all this, you know, books ahead of you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I learned quite a bit out there, you know, about the city and that, and which helps, you know, my later books. And so right now they're all in, excuse me, they're all, the books all take place in Vegas now.
Now, just in terms of, you know, kind of the whodunit or the murder mystery style, I mean, this is, you know, a fairly, you know, well-covered genre, right? I mean, there's been all kinds of, you know, prolific series about this. What to you keeps people guessing? I guess, how do you stay innovative when you're writing a whodunit?
Well, a lot of my books really, I can't really classify them as mysteries, because a lot of the books I reveal who the killer is, you know, pretty much early in the book, kind of like the old Columbo show where you saw right up front who did it, you know, and the books kind of go on just where the Jim Richards and his police friends and his, you know, his associates are trying to go after the criminal and figure out who he is and then track him down. So there's a little bit of mystery. And then sometimes I always have a, you know, surprise ending where you know, just somebody totally different, you know, somebody you didn't figure on. So,
Okay, and I mean, are you a fan of this as a genre yourself? I guess I mean, do you do a lot of reading in terms of other authors for murder novels and things like that?
Oh yeah, for years I read all the Parker books, Spencer and Jesse Stone, and all his early books and that. And I read a lot of, actually, I think I've read just about all the Alex Cross books by Patterson. Until he started writing with other people, then I stopped reading them. I read a lot of the Janet Ivanovich books, Stephanie Plum. She's hilarious. I love her books. So yes, I was a big fan of Michael Connelly and all those the murder books, and that's what I kind of styled my writing after. I'm not a great writer, I will admit that, but I do have a big following of people who all love the books and are anxious for the next ones to come out. So I guess I'm doing something right.
Well, so I mean, having written so many of them, how long did it take you before you realized that you started to get a reaction from people and you say, you know what, I really am probably onto something here?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I would say probably the first year was all just struggling to try to get people to notice the books. Twitter helped a lot. I gained a lot of followers through Twitter on the books, and then Facebook I got on there. Just trying, and I did a lot of promoting through newsletters and that. There was a one website I was on that was giving away Classmate Murders for free, and it was downloaded a total of over 40,000 times, which totally amazed me, But it's you got to promote, and that's what I learned the hard way in the first year. After that, it was a little easier. It's still a game where you got to keep at it.
Well, and there's a fine line too. Like I noticed that this is, kind of a recurring theme of discussion that I have with authors is that, I mean, the temptation is there to really kind of crank out copies of your book for free to get exposure. But on the same token, I mean, we're all in this to make a buck, hopefully, right? That
Right.
it's hard to find that balance between, letting everybody take possession of your work just to be able to get exposure to it, but by the same time, maintaining your profitability of it.
Right. Well, I didn't mind giving away my first book, Classmate Murders, because that introduced the characters, so people were understanding of who they were and what they were about. I mean, when you've got 30 some books, I mean, it's easy to give away at least one free, and that's promotion. And a lot of people who've read the first book have bought others, and then they get more into it. And I have people, a lot of people write me. I get a lot of email from people, and I really appreciate that. And I respond to everybody telling me that they bought all my books because they just love the series, And that makes me feel good that people, appreciate it.
Do you have, now you mentioned that there was a sort of a team of people, right? That you got the main protagonist, Jim Richards, but are there other characters that keep coming back as well?
Oh yeah, every book there's a it's like an ensemble cast. I've got Jim and of course his wife Penny, who is a talk show host, and she's a character. They're in every book, and then I have all his associates in his little investigating firm. There's Will Trapper and Earl Dawes, and oh Buck. Oh, I got to mention Buck. Okay, Buck is a real human being. I put him in my first book. He's a friend of mine. We work together. Matter of fact, most of the story of Jim Richards is my story. Well, I put Buck in the book, and he loved that. And he's in every book now. Yes, there's a whole cast of characters that go through each book. They're not in every book. Sometimes I'll bring up one person to help Jim, and then he'll go off, and somebody else will come in, and I keep adding new characters.
Do you find yourself doing a lot of sort of self-research in the sense that you've got all of this material and you want to make sure that things stay consistent? Has that ever been a problem for you?
Not really. I understand what you're saying. No, I was going to sit down and ask people if they could help me out by going through all my books and writing the names of everybody who, popped up in a book, so I know who the heck is in a book, because I do lose track of some people. And a lot of times I have to go back to a previous book because I'm going to mention someone, and then I gotta, find out what I said about them before. Yeah, it's sometimes it's hard to keep track of them all.
No, because I mean, I remember where I saw Kelly Armstrong speak at a book signing once, and she said that that was one of her biggest things. Mind you, she writes, fantasy novels, so there's a lot more details in terms of, worlds and things like that. But I kind of got that as a mindset that when you've got all these people that you're trying to keep track of, that it must get hard after a while.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of like my family now. I mean, the ones who are in each book, I know pretty much their life story in a sense, you know. And so it's easy. I can talk about, it's like you can talk about one of your friends. You know him real well, and you pretty much know, you know, what you can say about him. So each book, it's easy to give their attitude and their personality and use that in a new book, even though you know what they were like from before. So it's their family to me, you know.
Now, have some of your books been more popular than others? Like, you know, one of them taking off really, really well, whereas opposed to the other one, you had a hard time getting attention for it.
Well, yeah. They all seem to be pretty well even on sales. The newer ones, whenever I release a new one, that just, you know, the sales are crazy on that one because everybody wants it, you know. You did mention earlier, and I mentioned I have two series of books, the Jim Richards books, and then I have a Fatal series, it's called, where I have five books there. And those take place up in near Seattle, Washington. It's a sheriff and his girlfriend, or his wife, and that. Those books hardly sell at all. So I don't know, you know, if that's just not popular or what the deal is, you know, but everybody loves the Jim Richards books. So what can I say?
So, yeah, I mean, you know, this is as good a time as any to take that sidestep. But you know, what made you want to branch off and start the Fatal series? Was that just another idea that you came up with? Or, you know, had you been working on that for a while?
Well, I didn't want to get burnt out on the Jim Richards series. You know, I mean, it was getting to the point where I was getting people writing me saying, when's your next book coming out? When's your next book coming out? And it was just like, you know, I'm rushing to get these books out to keep these people happy, you know, which I don't mind. That's great that they, you know, they care about them that much. But I wanted to do something different just to get my head out of, you know, the Jim Richards books. And so I started this other book. Actually, to tell you the truth, what happened was Val Brooks and I were going to write the first of the Fatal books together. And she was going to write from the perspective of the female victim of the book, and I was going to write from the perspective of the serial killer. Unfortunately, due to time constraints and other problems, Val couldn't, you know, continue on. So I finished the book up myself. But it was just something I wanted to do, you know, besides the Jim Richards books.
No, I mean, that sounds like an interesting concept, though, where you'd have, you know, two people running in two different voices, you know, to basically tell the same story. Is that something, a thread that you and Val would like to pick up at some point?
I don't know. We haven't really talked much about it. She's got so many obligations on her own right now, you know. She's doing a great job of editing my book, so I don't want to disrupt her, you know, her balance over her personal life, you know what I'm saying? But, I mean, if she's up for it, that'd be great. So I know James Patterson has been writing books with people, too, you know, so I guess it's all right.
And one of the interesting little sound bites that I picked up when I was reading through your, you know, your news feed and some of the questions, the other questions that people had asked you, was that you kind of pictured, you know, you playing the casting game, which is something that I like to do when I read a book. And you kind of mentioned that you had a fit of Rob Reiner, which I'm a huge fan of his, to possibly play Jim Richards. Now, when I think of all of the characters that he's played, there's some of them are very, very serious, but there's always kind of an undercurrent of humor attached to them. Would you say that about Jim Richards?
Oh, yeah. I Jim is a lot like me. I mean, we're both kind of goofy characters. But, yeah, I was watching. I've always wondered who I would have as Jim Richards besides myself, you know, playing him in a movie or TV show. And one night I was watching, I think it was That Girl or The New Girl with Zoe Deschanel.
Right.
And she had on there, her parents were Rob Reiner and Jamie Lee Curtis. And the two of them just clicked for me, you know, watching them respond to each other. And then, of course, Rob Reiner, he just fit Jim perfectly, even the beard and the bald head and the big belly and everything. He was my, you know, ideal to play Jim Richards. Even Jamie Lee Curtis, I thought she would be great for Penny, you know.
This is just sort of an average-looking guy when you think about it, right?
Right, yeah. He's no handsome guy. I mean, you know, I mean, the thing people complain about, not complain, but I've had a few people say, well, you got all these old people on your books. You know, well, Jim and Penny are the only old people in there. They're in their 60s. Everybody else is all in there from 20s to the, you know, 40s. So you know, I picture Jim as not being anything handsome. Like, oh gosh, I mean, Magnum PI and all these other detectives and PIs on TV are all these virile, handsome guys, you know. Why not have an ordinary schlub like me, you know? I mean, why do they all have to be great-looking people? And Rob Reiner is just perfect for that.
Well, I mean, you know, Peter Falk is Columbo. I mean, there was, you know, he practically looked homeless when you think about it, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I agree with you there. So, but no, I mean, it always got to me that there was always a handsome, you know, detective or private eye. And that even, you look at Castle, I mean, he's great looking, you know, and she's, you know, they're both beautiful people. But I've never pictured, and a lot of my books, I complain about age, not complain, but, you know, Jim's always, you know, talking about how, oh man, I'm getting up, my back is bothering me and that, and, you know, it's life, you know. I'm the same way because I'm 64 now, and, you know, that's reality.
Now, I can imagine in terms of the murders that you've covered and the stories that you covered, that you've gone pretty much a wide gambit, right, of, you know, personality types and things like that. One of the questions that I like to ask people is, are there any kind of personality types or subjects that you don't personally feel comfortable writing about?
What do you mean by personality?
Well, I don't know, like whether it's, you know, certain kinds of villains or things like that, that you just say, you know what, thing that, you know, I don't like to explore that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. I pretty much covered a lot of things from child abusers to, oh gosh, I'm looking down my list here. There's been a lot. I even had a carnival thing where the carnival came into town and they were kidnapping kids and stuff. And I don't think there's anything that would bother me. I'm not real into gore. You know, I mean, that's one thing people have said about my books. I don't have any horrendous murders where I cut up people. I mean, I've read a few Alex Cross books where I was just about ready to, you know, turn the page because it got so gross. You know, I think that's the only thing that I wouldn't, you know, is really gross murders.
Now, I also noticed that you had some feelings about self-publishing versus, you know, traditional agencies and things like that. Every last one of your books thus far has been self-published, right? You've, you know, done this
Correct. Pretty
much on your own. What can you tell us about that as a journey in learning that process? I mean, that must have been a pretty steep curve for you, too.
Well, when I first started, I was trying to, you know, I had sent out things to agents and publishers, not a lot, you know, I did a little bit, and I was beginning to realize that they weren't interested in me. I knew my first book wasn't great, you know, and I didn't have the money to hire an editor at the time to, you know, to go through it, clean it up and that. And I found out through other authors on Twitter and Facebook about Amazon. So it was a great way. I put my book up there and I started promoting it, and I managed to get it so it was free so people could do it, because I had two other books I was working on after that, so I didn't mind. Yeah, self-publishing, I mean, and I was just kidding this morning on TV. They were asking, you know, if you had money, what would you do? And some woman said, I'd be a writer. And I'm thinking, yeah, everybody is a writer. Dee Snooki is a writer. I mean, every celebrity has written a book now. You know, it's like everybody is all of a sudden becoming an author. And, you know, okay, and they're making, self-publishing is making it easy to do that. But the thing is, it's not going to sell if it's not good. You know what I'm saying?
Well, but I mean, to a certain extent, like you mentioned that everybody's a writer and stuff like that, but I mean, I would almost question that, right, where you see, I mean, these people got, you know, have a lot of help. Right. Obviously, in some instances where you've even got, you know, a lot of these memoirs out there that I mean, it's written by whatever celebrity is out there, but with the help of so and so. And you know darn well that basically the book is written by the other guy. Right.
Oh, yeah. They have ghostwriters who write these books for them. You know, they just tell them the story and they fill it in. I mean, I'm sure Snooki's never sat down and actually written her own book, you know, but she has a book. I think she got two books out now. So, yeah, they have ghostwriters who do all that for people. And that's fine if they want to do that. But like I say, self-publishing has made it so easy for everybody to write a book now.
Now, I know that you have a blog and that you write other articles there that that you're really proud of? What are some of the topics that you cover on your blog?
I'll be honest with you, I haven't touched my blog in a couple months.
You haven't?
I've gotten so busy with promoting my books now. I mean, when you got 30-some books, I mean, it takes a lot of time to, to get out there and talk to people about them and promote them, and I do advertising and stuff. But you're right. I've got to get back to my blog and start doing that again. I mean, it was fun. I was throwing random stuff up there that just popped in my head, and I felt that was just a little me. What I'm saying, instead of talking about my books all the time or talking about other people's books, it was just more about me than it was So, but I have fun with it.
Yeah, but I mean, that really is what blogs are for. I mean, that's what I would argue, that I find that when I get into a bit of a rut creatively, that I'll go and, try to crank out a couple of pieces either for my own blog or for somebody else's, right? It kind of jolts a few ideas loose.
Right. Yeah, if you go back through my blog, you scroll down to the earlier stuff I did. I mean, I was doing weird stuff. I was talking about time travel, and I mean, I'm not some kind of nutcase, but I mean, it's just my belief that there's no such thing as time, and I had some, I'd throw cartoons on there and just have fun with it, but like I say, with everything else, trying to write the books and promote them, it's just, I haven't had time to really do much in the way of the blogs.
What can you tell us about your latest ones, or, the ones that just came out or the ones you're working on right now?
Well, I'm working on a new one right now called Wise Guy Murders, and there's a recurring character in my books. His name is Angelo, and he was his mother is the matriarch of a mob family from New York, and they met in a book called Bridezilla Murders I did. That was my fifth book, and that's when Angelo popped up, and he finally left the mob, and he moved out to Vegas, and Jim had him working for him as a bodyguard. Now he's got his own restaurant. Well, anyways, The Wise Guy Murders is more, I've done mob things in the books before, but not real heavy as I am in this one. And it's turning out that a cousin of Angelo's was murdered. And so they're trying to find out why. And, and there's going to be two mob families involved. And it's hopefully it will be a good book. So I'm about halfway through it right now. It should be done in January.
We're getting down to the bottom of the hour here, Bob, but I want to make sure we get in a good solid plug for your websites and your social media feeds. Where can people go to learn more about you and hopefully buy copies of your books or take advantage of whatever promotions that you've got going? Where can people go to engage with you?
Well, if they don't have Facebook where I'm available, they can go to my website, which is murdernovels.com, all one word, murdernovels.com. And that I do keep that up. I do put all the new books on there. As a matter of fact, I'm looking at it on my computer right now. I've got a couple videos up there that might be interesting. I did a spoof of the James Patterson commercials. And then I've got, all the books listed, all the recent books, and then also the links where you can get them from. I also have, if people who like my books, would be interested, I also have a list of the people who read my books. It's called the Jim Richards Family of Readers, where I include anybody who has enjoyed my books.
It's good that you have an open forum like that where people can, give their feedback and everything. And I know that you are proud of the feedback that you do get from your fans and your readers, right?
Oh, yes. That keeps me going. Believe me, I am so amazed at the number of people who, support the books.
Well, I mean, what can I tell you, Bob? This has been a big thrill to be able to talk with you, and I'm glad that we were able to finally set this up. Best of luck with the next book, and certainly if there's anything I can do to help you promote it, then by all means let me know, and I'd be happy to do it.
Well, I appreciate it. I appreciate you having me on.
Okay, great. So thanks a lot, and we'll be talking to you soon.